God is good, isn't he? Yes, he is. Let's take our Bible this morning. I want to share some scriptures with you today. I had these messages, not just one, but these messages on my heart. And last week we looked at Thanksgiving and giving thanks to God. I want to go back today. I'm looking at the matter of the heart. We talked about the mind. And today I'd like to talk about the heart. In the creation of mankind, God made Adam in his image. We find that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now that's thinking about the creation account. And then I've got some other scriptures we'll look at as we think about this. Of course, this is a topic, as we say this morning, so it's going to be several passages of Scripture. And I titled the message today, by the way, The Matter of the Heart is the Heart of the Matter. Think with me, as I said, we're looking at the world in which you and I live and the condition that it's in, the chaos that we see within this world. And oftentimes we wonder why. You know, we talk about a nation that was a Christian nation at one time, for what that meant. And now we have a number of Christians in our nation, but we see the chaos within a Christian nation. And we see chaos in the world. And there has always been chaos since the fall of man. I want us to see that. Man was created in the image of God. He made, created he him. And male and female. So when we think about the creation of God in creating mankind, he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And then, of course, we find how that God made the two one in Genesis 22 and verse 24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So I'm thinking about, again, the creation account. They were created in the image of God. Adam was, and Eve was taken again from the rib of Adam and was made a woman. And the two became one. They had the mind of the Lord. They had the heart of God. And they had the will of God. These three things are very important as we think about who we are and who God is. So we've got the mind, and we looked at the mind a couple of weeks back. What's wrong with the mind today? And we want to look at the heart today as we think about this. God created man perfect at the creation, the creation account. And of course, we know sin entered in. And from that time, man's mind was corrupt, his heart was corrupt, and his will was corrupt. In disobedience to God, mankind fell. They disobeyed God's will. They knew what God's will was, and he said, thus thou shalt not do, and they did. And now we have a man who is fallen in his nature, and his mind is not fixed on God. His heart's not fixed on God, and his will is not fixed on God. And we go forth from the creation account into history past, but we see in Genesis chapter 6, now we're talking about just prior to God judging the world with the flood, how that he says in verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continually evil. We think sometimes, we say, I thought a man thinks with his mind. He does. He thinks with his heart as well. Whatever's in the heart, of course, comes out of the mouth, and we understand that. We'll look at some other scriptures there. But it says that every man, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He's not thinking right. He's not thinking right in his heart. And something must be done about that. Man made in the image of God, he had a mind for the Lord, to please the Lord. He had a heart to love God. I want us to think about the heart today too. The two being one, male and female, and loving each other. That's not to say in our dialect, if you would, or words, that what is love? Can a man be married and love his wife? Sure he can. Can a man have children and love his children? Sure he can. Can a man be of a certain nation, a country, and love his country? Sure he can. But he can't love it the way that God does. And that's the problem we have today as we look at the world. The heart of man, we find it continually, his imaginations are against the things of his heart, or against the things of God, to only evil continually. He's continually thinking of that. So the fall of mankind has affected the heart of mankind. Jeremiah, in his writings, Jeremiah told us in Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse number 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not only is it wicked, it's desperately wicked. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Why? Because it has been tainted by sin and disobedience. And again, Adam and Eve procreating after their kind now, a fallen race, a fallen people, begetting fallen children. So we look back to the garden, we see the perfection of God, a perfect heart, mind, and will, and then the fall of man, and now man has created in his image mankind. And the heart of man is, as Jeremiah said, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then he says in verse number 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. God knows the heart. Think with me this morning, if you would. God, in his omniscience, he's an all-knowing God. He knows every heart of every person on this earth today. 8 billion? How many billion have been since creation of man? Only God knows. But God knows and knew every heart of every individual. He knows your heart right now. He knows what you're thinking as we're reading his word. He knows where my mind goes. He knows these things. He knows the state of our mind. And what he has written and recorded for us in his word is a mirror. Thereby, when we look into his word, it shows us who we are. We can't read what I've just read and hear what has been said and say that God's a liar. This is not true. No, God is true. His word is true. And he's talking about mankind. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now turn to Romans chapter 1. We've looked at this before, looking at the mind. I'd like for us to go again as we think about the heart this morning. In Romans chapter 1, we have seen where that God speaks to mankind. He, through natural revelation, the heavens declare the glory of God. He speaks of this in how that God has made himself known in creation. That would be natural revelation. And then special revelation, God has made himself known in his word, which is special revelation. These words and writings here in Romans, of course, is by the Apostle Paul. Under the inspiration of the inspired word of God, the God-breathed word of God, this is not Paul's thoughts. This is God speaking to us. And we look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. God has shown mankind in creation who he is. He says, verse 20, for the invisible things of him, speaking of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, and all three in the creation account, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's talking about mankind. Mankind is without excuse because they can see through the invisible things of God. What are the invisible things that you and I can see? We can see the grace of God, God's goodness. Look at the creation account. We look at the fall season just a couple of weeks back. Leaves beautiful color. We see the handiwork of God. God, man can't do that. These are the invisible things of God, His goodness. We see the grace of God. What the grace of God given us another day on this earth as we see it with a corrupt heart. Another day has been given by the long-suffering of God and His patience so that whosoever will may come to Christ today for salvation. And God knows who will. And we look at this sometime and we think, well, this is the Lord's Day. Think with me if you would. The Lord's Day began earlier than where we are as we look at time and where we are today. But in our area, in our time, God sees what is taking place at this very hour in the Eastern Daylight Savings Time, or Eastern time zone. And then we have the Central and the Mountain and the Pacific. We have the Atlantic, our head of. But the Word of God is being preached and taught, and God knows how many people will come to faith today. There are going to be many people saved today. We won't see it. We'd like to, wouldn't we? If you're here and you're lost this morning, you need to be saved. God loves you. We'd love to rejoice with you in salvation. You come forward. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth with that. But He knows how many will be saved today. And it's the invisible things that sometimes God shows His goodness through even accidents. There have been people who, through various accidents of what may have happened and harm and hurt, that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the goodness of the Lord. He makes Himself known. These invisible things, His love, His mercy, His grace, His goodness. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No man has an excuse to say there is no God. You say, well, there are those who are handicapped that don't know. God will deal with them in His own way. By the way, the wicked will be judged by their works. So that helps me to understand those who are not able to understand. God will take care of that, won't He? What kind of works has someone done who's a Down syndrome or what? You understand what I'm saying? A baby that dies at birth or what? God takes care of these things. What we're concerned about are those who are able to understand, to take in the things of God and reject that. He said they're without excuse because of that. Verse 21, when they knew God, they saw His handiwork. Man hasn't been able to create anything. He can't create trees. He's making take a seedling and do whatever. He cannot create the tree itself or what plant life in particular. But God has. And because when he knew God, they glorified Him not. He's talking about the lost now. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. See, we could say we ought to be thankful for what God does for us, but they weren't thankful. But became vain in their imagination, that's the mind, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart. The heart was already foolish because of the fall. But rather than acknowledge God and be thankful for who He is and say, there is a God, I'd like to know God, I want to see how this works, rather than doing that, they, of course, became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They took the things that God created, and He goes on to say, and they made idols of them. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. It's the heart. You say, well, the eye saw it in the mind, but it's in the heart. See, the heart is not right with God. And this is what he said. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The psalmist David recorded this in two places in Psalm 14:1. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. That's what the fool says. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. And penned again in Psalm 53 by David, almost the exact same words. He said, the fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There's none that doeth good. Again, this is the word of God expelling and exposing to us who we are. Our hearts need to be changed. This is what we find in the world today. What is the matter of the heart? The heart is the matter. And why aren't we seeing things? Again, we talk about people loving this or loving that. Again, I said a person could love their family and be a good father or a good mother, good children. They love. But in time, you say, well, I know someone and they really love their family. They're not born again. They're not believers. And they're good people. But still, they know nothing of the love of God. And I see this today in one sense, and it bothers me, because people say they know the Lord, and yet they're not loving like God would have them to love others. And that's one thing that goes with the heart of God, that we're to love as Jesus loved. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said this to his disciples, and he demonstrated that love. And he said, I no longer call you servants. See, they've been serving the Lord. He said, go, and they went, and they came back. And he said, but now I call you brothers, because you've got a heart now for God. And you know this as well as I. A born-again believer has a potential to love now more than ever before. I've shared my testimony somewhat at times. I was not saved when my wife and I were married. I loved my wife, but I did not know how to love her until I was saved. Because now I have a new heart. We'll talk about that. We get a new heart from the Lord, and that creates in us the ability. Without the love of the Lord in a man's or woman's heart, they have no ability to love as God. You can do good things to your family. You say, this guy, he, or this lady, they love their country. They gave their life for it. The lady lost her life just this week in the shooting. I'm not saying that she didn't love her country. I'm not saying she's not a believer. I don't know, but God does. But I'm saying that whoever they are, that love cannot be perfected unless God puts within you a new heart, because your heart is limited on what it can do. That's why I said, even people who've died for the country, you know, they love their country, and we thank God for those who have died to preserve the freedom that we enjoy. But think with me how that love could be perfected with the mind of Christ in the heart of the Lord. Because the heart of man is desperately wicked, as Jeremiah said. And in that, of course, it reveals who we are. Solomon wrote these words in Proverbs 23:7. For he said, for as he thinketh, he's speaking of a man or mankind, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, the mind and the heart are a lot alike. You say, well, I think with my mind, yes, but your heart has a lot to do with it. Because where your treasure is, there is your heart also. You think about that. You think about what I've got, what I've accomplished. And he said that's how man works. That's what the Lord said in Matthew's gospel. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 4 in verse number 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's the heart. Now Solomon's saying this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the ongoings, the source of life. Out of your heart. You know, when you think about the heart and think about the span of life, where we're going, what we love, it's amazing. Again, I thought I loved things prior to my coming to know the Lord. I did love my wife as best I could. Hadn't had any children yet, but then I came to know the Lord and I loved her more. And the more I love the Lord, it's like the growing work of the Lord, and you understand what I'm saying. God works in our heart, and we begin to love Him. We come to Him in faith, and we see who He is, and we see who Christ is, and love Him for what He's done. And now we begin to grow in the love of the Lord. And sometimes things that we may have thought were very important to us that we loved, those things will pass away. Because when our heart and mind is focused on the things of God, He changes. More than just at salvation being changed, but we begin to grow in the Lord. Sometimes we find that those things that we thought were very important are not so important anymore. What really matters to God? Well, the Scripture says, for God so loved the world. This globe that you and I are on, is that what He loves? Is He crazy about planet Earth? No, He's going to destroy it one day with fire. God so loved the world, He's talking about mankind, that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, the love of God is God giving His Son for our sin. That's the love of God. And we could be like the psalmist said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And Lord, put within us a right spirit. And with a clean heart, then we begin to understand in the right spirit and a love for God. We understand the love of God and we realize how much He loved us. He loved each one of us. It's not the world in general or mankind in general. It's you and I individually. Had you or I been the only one in need of salvation, Christ would have died for us. He did. He died for mankind. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and His only begotten Son gave His life to bring us back to God, to bring us into favor. It's the only way we could find favor with God, because we are enemies against God, the Scripture says. We have enmity. There's enmity between us and God. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our heart is not aligned with His heart. And what He does, then again, He doesn't change our heart. He does, you know, that's the thing about it. We try to fix things. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty good fixer-up sometimes. It doesn't last long, but sometimes we try to do that with people. We're going to fix them up. We know what's wrong with them. They stop doing this and start doing that, it would work out good for you. So we call these rehab programs. Don't think I'm using this facetiously, but we make these rehab programs and we say, if you'll do this for this many times and say this many times and do this every day and do it for 6 months or do it maybe for 9 months, and then we found out we got a better recovery if you'll do it for 12 months. We didn't say we had 100% recovery, but we've got a better. We find that the longer you'll do this, we have a better recovery rate. Well, you can't rehabilitate. You and I can't. We can't fix anything up, because unless the heart is changed, there's no hope. You still have that Adamic heart. You may not be doing this now, and you may not be doing that, but it's just a matter of time that it can come on that quick. Oh, I've got a button. I've been clean for so many years. You need a new heart, not a reconditioned one. You can't rehabilitate the heart. You can't recondition the heart. You can't have a heart makeover. You have to have a new heart. And that can only come from the Lord. And this is what he's saying. So man can't do this. For out of the heart that you and I have are the issues of life. And keep thy heart with all diligence, for that's what we're trying to keep it from. Again, we talk about raising children sometime. We want to protect our children. We do. Grandchildren, great-grand, whatever you may have. You want them to be in an environment where that their heart can be changed before they get too old down the road. Why? Because we all know that once a child becomes a teenager, nothing's wrong and everything's growing mentally well, that they begin to fall into the temptations that we all have been through. We say, well, what we're going to do, again, we're going to put boundaries on that. We're not going to allow them to be around that kind of people. And that's good. I'm not talking about throwing your kids out to the world. You can put the best of the best around them, but they still have a corrupt heart. And unless there's a change of heart, if they die, were to die in their goodness, they still miss heaven. The only way to get there is through faith in Christ. And it takes a new heart. So we see that. What he's saying is, our heart, and we see this, is desperately wicked. Out of the heart, of course, flows the issues of life and these things. And then how can we then find ourselves in a position to have a new heart? Well, I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'd like for us to look there if you have your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And looking down at verse number 6, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts." Think with me again. In creation, in the creation account, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it was the glory of God. The sun was created on day 4. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There was the glory of God. Man's not made till day 6, the sun on day 4. So God, now in this new creation, we're talking about the first creation, the glory of God shined forth before the sun. And now we use the sun oftentimes as a metaphor or a picture of the light. It's able to give its light. But God, he says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined into our hearts." It's not the sun. Although we could see the creation account, and my daughter on the West Coast sent a picture just the other day. I mean, a beautiful picture. The sun is going down over the Pacific, beautiful red sky. As beautiful as it was, and in the beauty of its best, all we can see is the goodness of the Lord. We can see the love of God. It's a serene picture of the sun going down. The moon was just above the sun. But it's not the light that goes into the heart. It's the glory of God. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts." He has to do that work in each and every heart. God has to shine his glory, that light, into the heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the work of God. This is where we fail as humans in being able to do that for others. We would love to, wouldn't we? I know a lot of people, again, I'd love to, if I could help them make, if they could just see that, but they can't see it. It's only the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that can reveal it to them. We can tell them, sure we can, and that's what we're to do. We're to tell people how they can know the Lord. You and I, who are born again, have received that light into our hearts. Talking about getting a new heart. Now God transformed us, and He's transforming us into the image of our Lord and Savior. We still have that Adamic heart. Stay with me. You say, well, we have a dual personality? No. We have a new heart. Being born again with a new heart, but yet you still have that Adamic heart. Not talking about the vessel pumping in our breast, but we're talking about that heart that we were created with. And now as a believer, we must decide, which goes with the thinking of the mind, the thinking of the heart, and complying to the will of God. We could not, prior to having a new heart, comply to the will of God. But now, as a born-again believer with a new heart, we can comply to the will of God. No man can please God who's not saved. He can love his wife, he can love his children, he can love his country, but it's not pleasing to God. But now he has a new heart, and this man who has a new heart, can he displease God? Yes, he can. How does that happen? Rather than allowing God to fill his heart, to keep him in fellowship with God, he breaks fellowship with God and he allows the old nature to be disobedient to God and do whatever he'd like to do. And this is wherein we see a lot of problems today. There will be people who will die. They have died, past tense. They will die. And only God knows they're saved. There are people and have been that walked hand in hand with God. They were in fellowship with God. Their heart was right with God. And they chose to step out of bounds. Not because the clean heart and the new heart did that, but because they chose to follow the desire of the old heart. And they can be so far out of bounds to where we don't see any fruit in their life, and God's the only one who knows they're saved. I'm a firm believer in eternal salvation. Once saved, always saved. But who wants to go home early in life? I mean, the days are cut short. That's not to say that all people who've died young have had the days cut short. No. God knows the span of each and every life. Just like he knows the thoughts afar off. God knows how long each one of us will live. And God will, in his love, mercy, and grace, through his power and in his love to him, allow us to accomplish the things that he would like for us to do. And folks, I want to finish well, and I want you to finish well. Paul finished well. You say, well, Paul lost his life. Had he not said thus and so, maybe he'd know. He was in the will of God, and he saw that. And he said he'd finish his course. And we want to finish our course well. Let's not push it. As Miss Sue, one of our older members, had said before, she said, Brother Joel, I'm ready to go whenever the Lord sees fit, but said, I'm not going to break in line. Well, that's the way we ought to be heading. We ought to be ready to go, but don't break in line. God's not through with you yet. Let's ask God to use us. Maybe today in our heart we're not where we once were. We're born again, we're saved, but we're not where we once were as far as being close to God like we should. And the Holy Spirit saying, this is truth. You know you've got a new heart. At one time you loved the Lord more, and what happened? He hasn't changed. So we ask the Lord to forgive us, and we take up the work and go forward. But it's the work of God. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the work of God. God is doing this. He's the one who does it. And he's the one who deserves all the glory for it. While again, we would like to help others. That's what the Lord has for us to do. Preachers can't save anyone. Evangelists can't save anyone. We can give the word. People can't save anyone. We can give the word of the knowledge of truth. And that's what he would have us to do. But it is through his word and an understanding of who we are that God works where a person would surrender themselves, submit their life to the obedience of Christ, and receive a new heart. And we find that again back in Romans chapter number 10. He talks about this, how this heart can be changed, and this is what we need. He says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord and shalt believe in thine heart, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Believing in thine heart that God raised him, speaking of Christ, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's the heart, not again the beating muscle within our breast, but it's the heart that has received the light of the Word of God. And that heart now believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Once you have the love of God, you're not going to be ashamed of telling someone you're a believer. Once you see how much he loved you, Christ did, he died for you on the cross, you're not going to be ashamed to say, he's my Savior. You're not going to be ashamed to say, you act like, if someone says, you act like those Bible thumpers. You're not going to be ashamed to say, I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. See, this is what he's saying. We have a new heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For it's with the heart, he said, man believeth unto righteousness. I thought you made your mind up. No, it's with the heart. That's why, again, we talk about children. You put them in an environment protecting them of the world and the chaos of the world so that in their purity, if you would, as a child, they hear the things of God. You start teaching a child the things of God at a young age, they're not questioning the adult. Say, where did you get that from? Who told you that? Why do you believe it? I don't believe it. No, you tell them the things of God and their heart is able to grasp that. How many children, I wonder, only God knows, have learned to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Stay with it. Doesn't the Bible tell us so? Sure it does. With a heart, man believes unto God. God shines that light into the heart. And when we receive that light, he puts within us a new heart, a clean heart, a pure heart, a heart that trusts him, one that's obedient to him. That's what we need today, folks. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. How is our hearts today? What about our friends? Let's stand together this morning thinking about those who are in darkness. Sometimes we look at people and say, you know, there's no hope for them. There is hope. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what the answer is. We know that God is able. Let's ask the Lord to help us. He said, shine his light in and through us to make a difference in this dark world in which we live. Let's bow our heads today to God. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that your light would shine in and through our lives. Touch the hearts of those in darkness. Again, Father, if there's one here today that has never been saved, we pray today would be the salvation that you would put within them, a new heart, a clean heart. a heart that hungers for righteousness. And for those of us who are saved, Lord, help us to see that it's through our hearts and through the love of Christ and that heart He put in us that enables us, Lord, to do Thy will for the days that You have ahead of us. May we finish well the course that You have set for each of us, dear God. And Father, we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.